You are now tuned into This Korean Life with your hosts, Brian and Nate.
Welcome back to another episode of This Korean Life, number 114, featuring the one and only TJ Yu, all the way in from Gyeongju, here to support the Spring Day Cafe, or Bomnar, as it's known in Korean. Thank you very much for coming down. You are no stranger to Ulsan. You lived here for 3 years before.
Yes, yeah? Yes.
Anyways, before we begin, I want to say a very big thank you to Andrea Brown. She was kind enough to donate two huge bags of books before she went home. Just to let you know, they've been passed on to Mr. Yu, who will use them in his cafe in Gyeongju.
Thank you, Andrea, for all those books.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We'll put them to good use. Anyways, welcome. Welcome. I was very nice. It was very nice to happen upon your cafe. I ended up there as a very spontaneous plan to avoid going to my in-laws.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Sure. Now, your business in Gyeongju started years ago. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What was you're a serial businessman. can you take us back to the first business you opened in Gyeongju? It was a hostel, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I came down to Gyeongju 2010 to start my hostel business.
Sure.
Yeah.
You came from Seoul, yeah?
Yes. Oh, that originally from Seoul. Yeah.
That's a big move.
Oh yeah,
that's a big move. Yeah. As far as I've been hearing, that people like to stay in Seoul, and if they're outside of Seoul, they feel like, oh, I lost, or I'm not winning. I'm not winning at the game of life. Is this true?
Kind of.
Yeah, but you felt the need to get out of Seoul. Was there a reason?
I did. At the first time, I was that kind of person, but I thought about where is the best place to open my hostel business. And then in Seoul, to be honest, so many hostels.
Sure.
Too much competition.
Absolutely. But
at the time in Gyeongju, there were only two hostels and run by 50s, 70s.
Yeah. Ah, okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
Golden opportunity.
Yeah, you're gonna bring the young blood to Gyeongju.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think 50s and 70s they don't have updated Instagram pages and in Twitter or X accounts, I guess.
Just a thing on Seoul there. I was out for dinner with some colleagues the other day, and the discussion was about the exodus of the countryside and the smaller cities up to Seoul, because this population crisis now, the first cities to fail are going to be all the ones outside of Seoul, so it'll hit Seoul last because there's so many people. So if you don't get into Seoul now, good luck trying to get in. It's only going to get harder and harder every year as more young people realize there's not enough opportunities in the smaller cities in the countrysides.
I get you.
And the urbanization that happened before is just going to get sped up now. So cool to see that you're going in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And must be easier going.
How old were you when you moved to, when you decided to move out of Seoul to?
At the time. Early
30s?
Yeah,
yeah. What did your parents think at that time? Were they all in support? Yeah, it's okay, you can go. Very nice.
Cool. Fortunately.
Fortunately, yeah.
Were you already independently wealthy then, or what were you doing maybe before you came south?
Before hostel business?
Yeah.
Late 20s. Yeah, I worked in event company, and kind of promotional event.
Oh, cool.
Then I opened my small wine bar in Seoul, and it didn't work very well. So I thought, maybe if I move down to smaller city, then it might be better than living, running a small business in Seoul.
It's all so cool. Yeah.
When you're looking at making a move like that, is there a certain amount of support or financial assets that you have in order to do that, or was it just let's go and see what happens to get a mortgage or to get a loan or to be able to pay the junsae after your wine bar already closed? How do you manage that? Did you get financial support from your parents or
no? Just I had small amount of money to open small.
So just basic.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm. And I think I know someone, a friend before, who opened a cafe here. And I think the government provided for small businesses, the government at that time, anyways, they had small loans for like less than 1% interest. Basically free money, and you had that for like 5 or 10 years or something to pay back. So, which is very helpful, I think.
So, what was it like when you opened that place in Gyeongju? I mean, it's a very busy place on the weekends. So many people, old, young, everybody goes there, especially in a couple of the what's coming up, cherry blossoms.
Sure, the end of March, yeah.
Cherry blossoms and a couple of the other festivals in the summertime. What was it like when you opened the business? Was it
now it's. Busy.
Yeah.
No low season here.
Yeah.
But in at the time, and that it wasn't that busy like this.
Okay, like
so,
it is
now. Yeah. There are some amount of foreign tourists, but they don't really know where to stay because only two little hostels.
Yeah.
And also some other motels, love motels.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Hotels.
Yeah.
Staff members don't really speak in English. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There weren't many options. Mm. So, yeah.
So, when you opened, it was a rough start? Was it easy? Like, I'm sure you opened a Facebook, Instagram page.
Sure,
was it easy to capture those tourists looking for it? Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So business was going well. What made you change? Why did you change out of the hostel business?
Because I was exhausted. Because too busy.
Ah, okay.
And also kind of, how should I say?
Burnt out?
Burnt out. So
How big was your hostel?
How big? 28 bunk beds.
Holy
crap. Oh, sorry. 28 beds.
Yeah,
28 beds. Yeah,
14 bunk beds.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Beds. And how many employees did you have? Were you doing a lot of the work? Is that why it was so tiring? Or
it depends on the season.
Okay.
Yeah, usually I had some volunteer staff members who want to stay in Gyeongju longer than their
okay.
They work at my hostel.
Oh, that's perfect.
For 2 hours, you know, a day, and then they can
just like many hostels
travel. Yeah, yes.
Oh, cool. So it's kind of a self-sustaining system, right? Oh, nice.
So when you have something like that, and you say it was kind of too busy, many businesses will grow and get bigger.
Sure.
Open a second location, or you would hire a manager to manage, and you would do the next venture. Why didn't you keep growing that business?
Yeah, I didn't like that kind of busy, rushing life. So the main reason to come down to Gyeongju was for better life.
Better lifestyle.
Yeah, better life. Yeah, better business, better life. But it got successful, but for my private life, it wasn't that.
Sure, yeah. And I think often here, success is measured solely on the income that you're earning, and not taking into account, you could be the top CEO, but same thing, you could have the best hostel in Gyeongju, but if you're not happy after work, or you can't enjoy other aspects of your life, what are you doing? You know, that's awesome. Good for you. Two really counterintuitive moves, I think, in Korea. Very against what most people would do. Stay in Seoul, keep the successful business, but you're doing what makes you happy. That's awesome, man. That's good. So the hostel closes down. It's time to formulate a new plan. What next was the book cafe in Ulsan?
Yeah. Brunch cafe and bookstore. Yeah, Nabi Brunch Cafe and Bookstore. Yeah, in Gyeongju.
In Gyeongju. Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. Nabi. Oh, so what was the name of the hostel?
Oh, Nabi.
Oh, it was Nabi as well. Okay, okay.
Butterfly.
Yeah. So you changed. You decided to jump into food and used books.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that transition?
Was good.
It was okay. Did you make the menu? Do you have chefs come in and make the menu? Was it a very basic menu?
I did.
You were cooking?
I cook.
Holy man. He just
breakfast. It's not Korean style breakfast. It's Western style. Yeah.
Who were you targeting with that cafe?
mostly foreign tourists.
Sure, yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, awesome.
At the time, wasn't there weren't many French cafe.
Sure.
2015, yeah.
Yeah.
So you think it's easy to make the Wagyu breakfast?
yeah.
What was on the menu? What's are you doing, like French toast,
bacon, pancakes? French toast, French toast and English muffin.
Cool.
And bagel sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, cool. A
couple of YouTube videos and you got it.
Some other things.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that's awesome, man.
And what inspired you to move to the book cafe / brunch cafe? You finished the hostel. Where did that come from? Are you an avid reader or did you live in the library for...
After hostel business night,
more relaxing. You need something more relaxing. So I
really wanted to find different life. At the time, I was with ex-girlfriend, and she wanted to work together and making something different.
Oh, that's awesome. I love, nothing makes me happier, especially when traveling to a foreign country, than going into a used bookstore. Mm-hmm. The ambiance, the feeling, the surroundings. I don't know if it's the books or the lighting or the smell or something about it. I love every place I go to. I really enjoy doing that. And it's cool that you're providing that experience for tourists here, right? That's good. So Nabi, it got too much. You were tired of making French toast, and you closed it down. What was the catalyst for you to pick up and move to Ulsan?
I wanted to try in different location, different
city. Okay.
So that's why I came to Ulsan.
Wow, you have itchy feet. Hey, you can't stay in one place.
How did you choose Ulsan?
Ulsan.
Mm. Why not Changwon or Miryang or? Mm.
I've been interested in Ulsan for a long time, so that's why. Yeah, I was just curious. Yeah,
interesting.
And I tried to find a decent place and looking around in Ulsan and also some other cities, and I couldn't find. But one day I went to Songnam-dong area to check some places, and then I found one house, second floor, a little tiny garden and big tree.
Bam.
So
that's
I chose that place,
and that's it.
It was like the house telling me, come on over here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stay here. And then I felt in that way, so I chose that place.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I opened,
it's a storybook. That's a fairy tale. a fairy tale right there. That's awesome, man. I've seen the ISA. That was Tarbit, right? The Moonlight.
Moonlight.
Moonlight Bookstore. Awesome name. I'm so sad I never made it out there. I saw it online.
Okay.
I saw your meetups. I saw everything. But I mean, at that time, that was just a wild time in my life with young kids. And
the name rings a bell, but
that's awesome. I love everything about it. And ironically, never visited.
Terrible. And that one you opened as a book cafe as well?
Yeah.
Were you serving food or just
some bar food?
Drinks.
And drinks.
Cool. Yeah.
Wine, beer.
And who were your frequent customers there? Was it again targeted to foreigners?
Who were the patrons?
Mostly Korean people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say 80% was Korean and 20% foreigners.
More foreigners, cool. What's the, like, I think I mentioned to you earlier that there was a guy here, do you remember Sean, who used to have the used bookstore in Mugudong, and he was selling used books along with imported English chocolate. He had a little storefront. It was a tiny little place, and he would open on his off hours. When he shut that down, I kind of picked up where he left off with a collection of books, and I would sell at the foreigners market. Just selling used books. There was quite a few people who came to the markets as well, and I I find it hard to understand how you can keep the doors open by just selling used books. Is used books to draw people in and then you make your money with coffee and food? Or can one sell enough books to pay the rent? Is it people buying books or is it kind of the food with the books as a...
To be honest, 100%, to be honest, people don't really buy books.
That's what I thought.
I can't make money enough.
So it's the food and the coffee that kind of does it.
Right.
But the branding, I mean, if you open a coffee shop, you're one of a million. You're one of a million in Ulsan. If you open used bookstore with coffee, it has a whole different feel.
Very unique.
Sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it. I think that's genius. Genius branding. Sorry, I didn't make it there, man. So.
When you started the one in Gyeongju and then starting next one here, where are you getting your books from? Do you do like a voluntary drop-off or how do you, I mean, for a random guy to start an English book cafe, I mean, this is the most books in the city right here. I don't know where somebody would get a whole bunch of English books from.
I got them from my backpacker's guest while running hostel business.
Cool. They so leave a
30,
book there.
30 books.
Yeah.
They were kind of seeds.
Okay, cool.
And then
yeah.
People dropped 3-4 books and then pick one or two.
Yeah.
And that way I collected those books. Yeah. And then later I went to Busan Foreigners Market, flea market.
Yes.
I bought some books too. And sometimes people contact me to donate their books because I when I get books from people, I sell them and then some of the profit I use them for charity.
Oh, cool!
So
very nice.
Local kids, poor local kids.
Very nice. Yeah. I've seen your post on that. That's quite nice.
And how about when you start the Korean one here? Is that just putting out a call on? What is it, Bende or something, looking for books, novels, who's got free books? I'll come pick them up. When you started in Seongnam-dong?
How do you get the Korean books? English books.
Usually, I buy some, and also some people, they want to get rid of all those books because they are moving to different city or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go look in the recycling place in front of my, in front of my
kids'
house.
School books, no? Dude. Those kids' school books take up every week.
So they want to get rid of all those books, and then some of them they're useful, but
most of them are garbage.
The others, garbage. So I take all those and then come back to my place, and then kind of separate useful one and. Right.
Good ones and ones to burn.
And then I give those things to we call box harmony.
Picking up the boxes. Sure. Yeah. Those are heavy too.
You'll be breaking her back.
Oh man, that's good. So how long was Tarbit in operation for? How long did you run?
For three years. Yes.
And that finished pre-corona, during corona?
During corona.
During corona?
Yeah.
Was corona the reason you had to shut it down? Was it highly affected?
One reason.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I got news from my landlord, and that area was kind of under planning to
redevelop.
Build. Yeah,
Was that where Centriji? Centriji?
Near that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the Centriji's the new that mega complex that's there. Have you been down there?
Recently? I saw that, yeah.
Wow, man.
So you got a notice saying you only have 5 months left. This is going to get shut down
and just kind of demolished. I mean, sure I say it. It's discouraged and I'm kind of feeling I'm done with this place.
Yeah.
And now I need to find new place.
Yeah.
And So
it seems like that's the ongoing story, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Getting a little restless here. Let's find a new place. You enjoyed Ulsan, though?
Sure.
It was a nice...
I met really nice people here.
Yeah. Cool, man. You're welcome back anytime. You're welcome
what
back.
What did you move on to after Dalbit?
Sorry?
After Dalbit, you went back to Gyeongju?
Yeah. Back to Gyeongju.
Okay, so now you're in Gyeongju. You're in, what's the name of the street?
Hwanglidanggil.
Hwanglidanggil, yes. You know the area, right? Yeah. When you go in, it's all the traditional Hanok, is that right? Yeah, the Hanok houses. And before going, I told my wife, I'm like, man, how did this guy score this really sweet place in like right in the middle of Gyeongju? Like that's amazing. And my initial thought, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm not an experienced businessman by any means, but I always imagine like if I open a cafe, I want to buy the place. But you explained to me earlier that those aren't even for sale, right? You can't, all of those old buildings aren't, you can't even buy those.
Are they owned by the government?
Are they government owned? No, they're independently owned, but you can't, is that right? You can't buy them? None of them are for sale?
Too expensive to buy
them. Yeah, are they?
So.
What's like a pyeongdang on something like that?
I don't really know.
Too much?
Yeah, more expensive than Seoul apartment.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. And that's the place you moved into is big. You have a big place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, your place is huge. And it's sectioned off into two different places, yes. Right? Why did you decide to do two different entrances? It feels almost like two different places. Yeah,
two different places. Yeah, mm. One of them is in charge. My wife is in charge of cafe area.
Yeah.
And I'm in charge of used bookstore area. Mm-hmm. Because not to fight.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you learned from the first experience, right? Yeah. Working with the girlfriend. You need that divider line.
And people who want to read some books and just looking around, they don't really want to be bothered by other people. So, yeah. So I decided to have two different sections.
Yeah,
that's separate. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's a great setup. And the first time that we met. it was a little, speaking of hostile, it was a little hostile, meeting when I want to bounce the question, Nate, off you. As I walked in, there's a sign, it says, 1001 entry, if you haven't bought anything from the cafe. So I walked in and he came out, big smile. I was like, hey, what's up? Have you bought anything? I'm like, oh, don't worry. I bought something. He goes, show me your receipt. I said, you don't trust me? He's like, very direct. He goes, no, I just met you. That was really funny to me. I was like, oh my God, he really doesn't trust me. And I showed the receipt, how would you have handled that situation? I asked lots of Korean people that I teach, like, how would you handle the situation? They go, same as you. They're like, show me the receipt. Why wouldn't you show me? If I said, you don't trust me, they said, no, I would tell you, show me the receipt and then you can go. How would you handle that as a businessman? Do you take my word for it?
As the customer or as the business guy?
As the business guy. I walk in, you go, hey, show me your receipt. Like, bro, I ordered already.
I'm only getting a quarter of the story here. I don't know what the context of the Chunon is, I can assume, but...
What's the reason? Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's an easier way to do it. You get a stamp or you get a whatever. Have a sign up. If you buy something here, show your receipt at the door. There's probably an easier way to communicate it, but if it's...
If I walked in... No, there's a sign. There's a clear sign. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you don't trust me? Would you just say, keep going? Or, hey, bud, show me your receipt. Which way?
If you asked that, I'd say, show me your receipt.
Ah, damn. I would be a very unsuccessful
if I trusted used book you, store I would guy. Let you in already.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not about that. The sign's there, and why would you oppose it?
I'm not opposing. I was just being funny. But anyways, listen, we hit it off after that, and it was all good. You have any idea on the number of books you have? 10,000?
Oh, yeah, 10,000.
But yeah, I think that would be
more than that.
More than 10,000. Jeez.
total, yeah. But English books, probably 1,500.
Yeah.
And Japanese, 1,000. And Chinese, and 200. And some others, yeah.
Where?
Wow.
And for Korean books, probably more than 1,000.
Yeah.
More than 10,000.
More than 10,000, yeah.
So we have did you buy all these once you just...
Mostly, yes.
Yeah. Where do you buy wholesale books? Is that just an online? Send me 10 boxes of books.
Vendor. Yeah.
On Bend.
Yeah, in Busan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the vendors. Ah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
90%.
Yeah. Huh. Are you talking about the used bookstore? Is there a street attached to Gyalchi Market?
Big storage.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, sell. Interesting. Sell those books to. Used bookstores.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm just curious when in this timeline you got married and if that played any role in moving back to Gyeongju. Did you get married here in Ulsan?
Yeah, I met my wife in Ulsan and then we moved to Gyeongju and then got married. And
cool.
What was the inspiration for this one? If you enjoyed your time here in Ulsan and your business Dalbit was going well, maybe a little bit tired, close it down, why go back to Gyeongju? Why not open something else here?
I got a call from the landlady, and then we have known each other for a long time, and then she wanted me to run my own business at her place.
In Gyeongju?
In Gyeongju, yes.
Ah, so you already...
The beautiful, Hanok.
So that was just good timing, or...?
Yeah, good timing. Really good timing. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
So when you get the... Boom. When you get the letter from the Dalbit landlord, it's closing down. You're like, no! But... You know, sometimes this is like a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
You look, you're like, oh, no. A few months later, you get a call from Gyeongju.
Nobody knows what's going to happen
Absolutely.
In the future.
What was that? I assume your wife is like your partner in this?
Sure.
What is that like? I mean, traditionally, the women are looking for a man with a stable job, a stable income, lots of benefits and vacation and stuff. What is that like? Is that her style also? Just kind of, hey, who cares? Let's see what happens. or is there a lot of pressure on you to make sure that this one succeeds now because your wife doesn't want to move every 2 years testing out hostels and book cafes?
I think the good point for us is we have same philosophy. Yeah.
Which is?
Life and work balance.
Mm.
Yeah, we really care about that. And we met in Ulsan at the flea market. She was selling her stuff and I was selling my stuff.
Oh.
And then, she was my best friend in Ulsan.
Oh, cool.
And we have known each other for a year and then...
And then you tied the knot.
Yep.
Wow, very nice, man. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, two peas in a pod. That's cool.
What is that like now, working together day in and day out, always together, as well as being married? Are there some big challenges in that?
Sure, yeah. It's really big challenge.
Of course.
To work together.
But you're separate. You're separate most of the day.
For now, but before... That, we work together and we fought a lot, but
of course
now we have our own role in our place.
Yeah, so, yeah. Cool. And that
separate.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious what you do on a day-to-day basis. I just picture this big Hanok building or something with 10,000 books and you're checking guys' receipts like the guy at Costco. What is your? Are you serving coffee and drinks in the book part as well, or what do you? What do you do?
Self service, and I usually, checking books and separate, and some doing.
I think he facilitates the. How do you say, like the running of the bookstore? Like when people come in, he's checking receipts. He's also, where are you from? How you doing? We had a 10-20 minute conversation anyways, right?
So
and that's, you need that. You can't just have an old grumpy man behind behind the counter, like, show me a receipt. You were very friendly. And it was a very welcoming atmosphere.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Do you sell many books there?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
How daily? 10, 20, 50?
It depends on the day, but usually more than 50 books.
In a day?
In a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, man, there's a lot of foot traffic going through your place.
And so are they mostly used books or no?
Used books.
Yeah.
So what is the price range maybe?
3,001 6,001.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
3,000 to 6,000.
Yeah.
Oh, so those, mostly, yeah, that's why there's so much turnover then. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, depends on the condition.
Absolutely.
So some good books, yeah, more than 6,001. Sure. Yeah. But yeah,
not 3,000 to 6,001. Yeah. It's just a bonus to the coffee and the brunch that you guys offer, right? You get that. If there's, you said the competition for hostels is quite difficult. Or it's quite intense. So, I mean, all the backpackers, someone wants a book to read on a plane or on a train as you're going between from place to place.
What is the ratio of, you told us, the books? Does that reflect the ratio of customers coming through? How much or how many customers are the foreigners and the Koreans? What's the ratio?
Probably mostly Korean people.
It is mostly Korean. Yeah.
Really?
90%.
When you're talking to them, are they from Ulsan and around here, or are these people coming from Seoul? Are these like tourists?
Tourists.
Really?
Interesting. I'm even surprised. 50 books a day. Like everybody reading online now and Kindles and audiobooks and nothing. 50 books a day is a lot. That's good to know that people are still reading.
Yeah.
I enjoy reading books, but I don't think it's very common anymore.
Yeah.
Especially younger people.
If you go to tourist city, you might buy some souvenirs. So people want to buy something.
Sure. Yeah. When I read a book too, like when I was home recently, like when I look at that book again, I remember that book is a stamp in time for me. When I think about that story, it's like, oh, I read that on the train, I read that on the plane, you know, and you kind of remember, you tie that story to where you were. So yeah, like you said, you can make an extra memory or a lasting memory by, you know, adding a book into your experience. Very nice. I think I over romanticize the idea of running a used bookstore. I imagine, oh, my friends will come in and it'll be so nice and, you know, we can talk and have coffee and just enjoy every day. What are some of the biggest challenges you face on a day-to-day basis?
Weather.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that would be a big one. Because you...
Is it open air?
Yes, and I have a little garden and I take some boxes of books to the garden.
By garden, you mean like a big lawn, like a big open grassy area. Yeah, and you set them all up outside, all nice.
Outside.
That brings people in, but
sure.
When it rains, what do we do? Take everything in?
Everything in the room.
Oh, yeah, no.
In the rooms. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Sure. Does that kill people from coming in? So, when it's not, if it's not a sunny day and you're able to display your books, do people still visit?
Sure.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, nice.
So you must have some downtime. I mean, during the peak seasons, it's pretty busy, but some of the days in the winter are pretty slow. Like we go there quite regularly. We have a couple of places we like to go to, but there must be some pretty slow times as well.
Sure.
How do you make use of your free time? Do you just relax and enjoy because you know it'll be busy on the weekend, or
people think I'm kind of relaxed,
sitting back, smoking,
reading,
reading books, just killing darts.
Yeah, running used bookstore is pretty hard work because physically and mentally.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of things to do because I need to go to some places to buy some books.
Oh, you always have to replenish your stock. Yeah.
And also, I need to clean up the books and I need to display.
Does your wife think that your job is easy?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, if I was running the cafe, I think the cafe running sounds a lot harder than the bookstore.
That son of a gun just read books over there, hey? She's just in her head, you know, if you looked at it from like a bird's eye view, she's over there slaving away. Her thought is like, oh, that guy's just sitting down over there doing nothing.
Coffee and brunch is steady, but
sure,
the book section might be a little slow sometimes.
You got the better end of the Another deal there. If someone was to visit Spring Day or Bomnar, what kind of menu can we expect to eat? What's on the menu?
Coffee.
Yeah.
Brunch.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the brunch? Are we looking at an English breakfast? What's on the menu there?
Western style.
Western style breakfast.
Breakfast. Yes.
Very nice.
That's what Koreans are looking for? A Western style brunch?
I think so. Because it's cheap and decent price. And bread, egg, and sausage.
Yeah.
How much does a brunch go for?
10,000 won.
10,000?
Yeah.
Very reasonable.
And how much is a coffee?
Coffee, 5,000 won.
$5. Mm.
Standard. Ice Americano?
Yes.
Yeah. $5?
$5.
That's standard.
I don't know. I just know by the I'm at the university and the kids buy them for Cheonsambaegan and Cheonwon.
I understand.
So obviously it's going to be more expensive than that. I don't even know how much is a Starbucks.
Fucking a kidney. Yeah.
But like Peck's Coffee or some of those ones that the kids bring, they're, I always ask them because I'm like, you're a student. You all told me you have no jobs. He's got Starbucks, Ochanan. You got the same coffee from Peck's Coffee, I Cheonsambaegan, and you got Mr. Kim's Coffee, Cheonsambaegan.
Yeah.
Are you rich or professor? Starbucks. I'm like, you don't have any money. You don't have a job. So I'm just curious in comparison. I understand in Gyeongju and on that street, it's not cheap. But I just wonder.
Well, that's, yeah. If you're gonna be downtown, dude, someone's gotta pay the rent.
Yeah.
Hey, people want everything in one area. Yeah, you gotta pay to play. Have you ever thought about, do you guys roast your own beans? Do you do roasting or no?
Oh, no.
Have you ever thought about getting into roasting?
Oh, no.
No? That's too much?
too much work.
Sure.
No. I got a couple of business questions.
Okay.
Gyeongju is probably, I mean, outside of maybe Hongdae, Myeongdong, whatever, the capital of the tourism and the service industry in terms of tourism and hotel and hospitality and stuff. What are you looking to give the customers? What kind of experience are you looking to give the customers? Because I have a couple of follow-up questions.
Okay. Koreans or foreigners?
Whoever. When people come in or when you're setting up your books or making the brunch menu, what experience are you trying to give the customers?
As you guys know, Hanok means to Korean people, old and grandmothers or country, something like that.
Sure.
And tradition. Uh-huh. So all those things, yeah, I really hope.
What about in terms of the actual service?
Actual service. Yeah,
you had a 20-minute chat with him. I don't know if your wife talks to the people or not, or your waitresses or whoever. What about the actual service of bringing something or refilling their water or asking for his receipt? What about the actual kind of service?
It's self-service. Mm-hmm. So bar area is in front, and people come in, and then they order their things, and then they get the bell.
Yeah.
Then when bells rings, and then people come to pick up their menu, and that kind of things.
The reason I'm asking is because it's changing now with social media and stuff, but I find so many times owners or managers, they don't give a shit what kind of service there is for the customers. They couldn't care less if their waiters had good manners or bad manners or took good care or not good care. And in America, that's why in some states, they're paid less than minimum wage, but their tips are huge and they have to work hard for the tips. So they provide really good service. But my impression coming out of many restaurants and cafes and stuff in Korea is...
In Korea.
They don't care if you come back.
Okay.
They don't care if you come back. It's like a one... And I thought, you know, as a business owner, your goal would be to retain customers, to have good ratings on social media, TripAdvisor, this, that, so that people say, hey, go to Bital or whatever it was, Dalbit. Go to...
Bital.
What, a Spring Day Cafe. Because the owner's so nice. And when we meet a nice owner, if someone asks, where's a good brunch place in Ulsan? Everyone will say, go to this place. The owner's really cool. where's the dentist? Go to this guy. He's really friendly. Go to. But I just find in general that it's not important to kind of make that connection or leave a good impression or a lasting impression, that it's give them good food or something you can take a picture of, and that's it.
But maybe that reflects what people want.
So that's what I'm asking. I prefer to, you know, feel welcomed and that the people serving actually care about their job or what they're doing, not just bali bali and I don't care if you come back, or oh, maybe this isn't done right. Oh, too bad. Sorry. See you next time.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a next time. So when you how many staff do you guys have at your
two?
Well, it's only two of you.
Yeah.
Two.
So that's what I mean. When you're meeting customers, what kind of service do you try to provide? That warm and cozy, I can't wait to see you again, or I hope you tell your friends, or hey, here's our business card. If you know anyone coming, pass it along. Or because that's a good way to grow your customer base. But I find, and like the gift certificates, we used to go around looking for gift certificates, gift cards. Mm-hmm. And so many places would say, no, that's crazy. Why would I do that? Because it's pre-sold business. You don't even have to. And if you close, you don't owe, you already get paid for that. And it's a way to sell. That's why Starbucks does gift cards, because it's a great business model. But they would look at us like we're crazy asking for gift cards. So stuff like that, where they just say, meh, I don't want your money. No, I want to give you $200 and you give me a gift card. No, thanks. Huh? So when you think about the service and how you run it, that's what I mean. What kind of relationship do you create with the customers? Or what kind of impression do you hope you leave with them?
Do you go out of your way to speak to everyone who comes in, or do you want them to freely browse?
Okay. So mostly they are travelers from different cities.
Okay.
They're Koreans.
Yeah. Do you try to engage with them?
We want they fully enjoy mm-hmm. their time in Hanok.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Traditional.
Okay, sure. Korean
style.
Yeah.
House. So yeah.
Let them be.
So what we do is just helping them to enjoy and relax.
Okay, okay.
And not bothering. Someone needs something we can recognize.
Sure.
And so I go and ask. For example, at my bookstore, I don't really want people who just taking picture.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds, to be honest, 10 seconds.
Come in.
That's Ichinon for 10 seconds. Yeah. It's pretty good.
10 seconds. And then...
Can you move a little closer to the,
okay,
to the mic? Yeah.
And then they leave. But customers really I want to have is focusing books.
Sure.
And nice and cozy.
Atmosphere, yeah.
Atmosphere and book smell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know...
Cool, man. I like that too. Huh?
Some people... who really love books, they know how to find their books and also enjoying the atmosphere. Yeah.
So you don't care at all for the Instagram, TikTok, and even if it made your place really famous or a lot more customers, not really interested?
No, you want people.
I want people, but I not to have those picture people. So that's why I charge people, 1,001.
And you know what? That I criticized you at first, but that 1,001 is like the best filter. It's not expensive by any means, but it's enough for people to think like, oh, do I want to pay Chunan to go in there? And
if you buy
just
a,
start snapped.
If you buy a book, do you get it back?
Sure.
Uh-huh. So
then it costs nothing.
Yeah,
it's fair enough.
Sure.
To be honest. Yeah.
Sure.
Looking around and taking picture and
buy a book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, you get a dollar off your book. Just Nate, what you were saying there about being very personable and in engaging with the customers. I'm very much of the same mind. If I had a place, I want to talk to everyone and you know when they come in. But I can't remember which. I think I was looking at maybe an interview with a barber shop in Seoul. And they were saying they want to kind of create like the cool new atmosphere. You know, you got the young barbers with like their leather aprons, and they're all tattooed up, and they're giving mochin haircuts. You know, and you know you have a little bit of whiskey with your haircut, and it's a total, you know what I mean? Like it's a total like barbershop vibe. You know, So I mean, that really works for some people, especially the younger generation. But thinking about someone maybe like my father-in-law or some Ajashis that I know, they don't want to fucking talk to anyone. Cut my hair. Leave me alone. You know what I mean? And there's, I think, it's very idealistic to think like, oh, I can just go in and...
But I was just wondering, like, in the hostel industry, you would learn that most people staying in a hostel are looking for advice, tips, direction, this, that, and that the more personable you are, the better your English is, the better you can connect, would be more valuable in that type of business.
Yes.
And I just thought, same with the young guys in this one. I mean, if you can take a picture for them outside their hanok, outside your hanok, mm-hmm. hey, would you like me to take the picture? As opposed to, then you get 100 people waiting, just take the picture and keep them moving.
Yeah.
Hey, we have Americanos on sale, $5, go ahead.
Yeah.
If you can make that connection. But I guess I see in so many opportunities here that are wasted because it seems like people just don't, the own business owners don't care about trying harder or making more business. They just follow like the franchise rules or...
Are you single? Are you focusing on Namja Tang across from your house?
No.
That guy ran that place into the ground.
No, but the hot days in Gyeongju there, the Harmonies just stand there with their thing. I'd be saying, you know, slushy, chanon, slushy, chano bagon.
Sure.
If you had one Daehak sang there, I mean, in Canada, they'd put a girl in a bikini and they'd sell 10 million more slushies.
What about the Susu Keiki man? He's crushing.
Yeah. Ice Kenke, Ice Ken. Those guys, because everyone knows.
Ice Keiki.
Oh, that's the guy. I want an ice cream.
Yeah.
If I didn't hear him, I wouldn't even know he's there. So I just find there's so many missed opportunities, especially like on the busy days in Gyeongju, cherry blossoms coming up and stuff.
Sure.
When there's 10 guys selling cotton candy. Why is this guy got none and this guy has a lineup out to the
dude? You need those dancing girls. You need those dancing girls that are out front of the LG,
opening. The guy will just stand there and not do anything, and he's like, "Hey, I have cotton candy." He doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
you got the same machine, the same everything. Do something. So that's just. I'm just trying to learn about more of the business mind. What about you? Mentioned once or twice already about. The landlord calls or your rent is up or what, how does that affect your current business? And are you worried about that? The lady called you, oh, TJ, come and run your business here. Oh, great. Hey, TJ, please get your business out 6 months later.
Are you, do you have the same fears that what happened with Darby?
No,
what happened
not
with
at
this?
All.
No,
you've developed this, you've grown this, and this is kind of like your thing now. You're married. Sounds like you're kind of settled, but what if, are you not worried she calls in a year and says, sorry, Starbucks wants to move in, so we're taking Starbucks?
In the beginning, you know, my wife and I were worrying about those kind of things.
Yeah.
But the landlady gave us solid contract.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Cool. That's
Do you have like a 10-year lease or something? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. And that's another benefit. Again, looking back at Taobit, oh no, we're getting kicked out. That gives you some really good knowledge moving on to your next one. Like next contract we sign, maybe not a 2-year thing. Maybe in a place that's more stable, that's not going to get knocked down or redeveloped perfectly in the middle of Gyeongju. they'll never redevelop that. Yeah.
Is it in such a way that you can't make a lot of upgrades to the current situation because it's a Hanok building? It's just kind of left as is? Or can you always be thinking about remodeling and upgrades and different design and interior?
In Canada, for example, there's, I don't know, I don't want to call it like a historical house, but there's some houses that, you know, they're for the size and in the area and in the history of the house, you're like, oh, this is like 30% lower than market price. Like, wow, this is a steal. But when you go to buy it, there's lots of conditions like can't do this, can't do that, can't paint the wall, can't add this, can't add that.
The colors can only be flat colors, not primary colors.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have, I think Nate's question is there the same regulations?
Regulations?
Yeah.
Only roof in Hwangnam-dong area.
Yeah.
We should have Hanok roof.
Hanok roof.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
What's that called? What's the...
Kiwa.
So the interior, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Sure.
You don't have to use rice paper or...
not at all.
Oh, you can put new windows in if you want.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Very cool.
Very flexible.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's I love the Hanok experience in regards to cafe, but I stayed in a Hanok, slept in a Hanok. The day we arrived, it was like t-shirt weather. It was like 15 degrees. That night, it dropped to minus 20. It was in the bathrooms outside. Man, you got to get up. The walls literally are paper. The wind is blowing in. It was brutal. It was brutal. The floor, it's hot enough to cook bacon. The air is like your nose can, like you could chip a piece off your nose, dude. When you wake up, it's frozen, but the floor is so goddamn hot. Yeah, in terms of hostel, maybe not so good, but for a cafe, it was awesome. It was a really good, really nice experience.
What is the goal of the cafe and the bookshop, maybe a little bit longer term? I mean, it sounds like you're not interested in making $1 million if it came fine. But I mean, in terms of like marketing and maybe say like customer attainment, do you have any plans for Gyeongju people to come buy 5 brunches, get 1 free? You're an independent business, so you don't have the franchise support behind you.
Restrictions.
How do you approach like marketing and looking at the future of it? Are you trying to grow it and make it busier, or sounds like you just like to kind of chill and relax and just balance work and life?
Is it, do you want to sustain over time? You want to keep just sustainable? Do you want to grow it and change it?
I want to grow it.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
To what?
So,
used cars?
In
He's got a lot full of shitty old cars.
In Paris, there is a really famous bookstore,
sure.
Shakespearean Company.
Yeah.
And in San Francisco,
yeah, yeah. New York, you have Strand Books. Yeah,
City Light.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
bookstore.
Yeah.
And last, in, I don't know, it's in LA. Last bookstore,
yeah,
something like that.
But then you got to work really hard.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I want to make this bookstore landmark in Gyeongju.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Everywhere we go, there are some bookstores. Yeah. In tourist cities.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I want to make it
good for you.
How do you approach that? How do you plan to do that? Or what are some ideas that you have in mind to get to that?
I don't know, to be honest, but yeah, little by little, and
I think
our best.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, being sustainable is your first thing. You need a base. You need a good base. You got to be there. Time will factor into that as well.
Isn't the good part of it the pictures?
Huh? Sorry?
Isn't the good part the pictures? Everybody taking pictures and tagging your place?
Sure, yeah. It helps. Yeah.
It helps. But you do, I see you take lots of pictures with foreigners who come and buy books.
Oh, yeah.
What's the story behind that? I don't see any Koreans in the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I ask Korean people to take a photo with their books.
Yeah.
And then people feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
Okay.
Being on my
I don't want people knowing I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey.
So,
hey, old grandma with 50 Shades.
You know, usually when I ask foreigners, they don't really care about taking photo me or with their books.
That's awesome.
Whatever.
So it sounds like to get to that level, you'll need a pretty intense marketing strategy. How do you and your wife approach that? Do you say you do the cafe, so you gotta market the cafe, I'll take care of the bookstore? Or is that the business part of it done together? In the day, you're in different parts of the business, but in the planning time, are you planning together or separate also?
It's separate also.
Separate.
Oh.
Because
surprises coming out of the brunch cafe?
Again, the guys down here at some of the restaurants downtown, is it, there's zero marketing here. There's no marketing. Nate, nothing works. Well, it's bullshit. Marketing works all over the world.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever doesn't work, and then it's the wrong one. You got to find something else. But you can't tell me that every person that comes in says, if I take a picture of this, whatever it is, spaghetti bolognese or chapati or butter chicken curry, post it online with a picture and at whatever the restaurant is, that's not going to generate traffic to your name, your restaurant, your whatever.
Sure, but that might give you the artificial spike in traffic that not Belle de Norte, what's her name, Fleur de Lis, or what's her name, I serve too much carbonara,
Bleu de Folie.
Yeah, she she said her problem too was too much. Come in, take one picture, never come back. You know.
Yeah, but that's your job as a business owner is to make them want to come back. If you want to come take a picture, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
Eat the dinner, pay your $50. If you don't want to come back, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you post it on social media, that's free advertising.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, but so that's what I was going to ask about the brunch or the books. Instead of taking a picture with the foreigners or if you said like, you know, buy a book, make a post and get two more books free or something. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you do. He does. You have the you have your tea nights, I believe, right?
Sure.
Yeah, can you introduce that and what people can expect if they do want to join your tea party, I guess?
On Saturdays.
Saturday nights, yeah.
We hold tea party.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And what is that's in the garden, yeah?
Yeah, in the garden.
Okay. Can you explain what
Yeah, basically it's potluck party.
Oh, cool.
So people bring their own food or drink and then sharing all together and then talking.
Very nice.
Is this tea or tea with alcohol?
Tea and also alcohol.
It depends on the person. Potluck, I think our potluck's different. I'm bringing mashed potatoes, you're bringing a turkey, he's bringing a salad. Yours sounds like bring some anju or something.
Yeah, little snacks usually. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And some drinks.
Yeah. Who's the demographic that's attending? Who is visiting for tea night? Side note: tea in England, tea would refer to like tea and food, right? Tea is like a meal. Like afternoon tea would be lunch, right?
Okay.
Time for tea. Yeah, doesn't necessarily mean the beverage with a bag in it. Anyways,
tourists, who have visited my place. And then they know.
So maybe they come in the day and then they see the advertising. Like, oh, I'm going to come back tonight and just chill. Sure,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So is it usually talking or is it reading books or?
Oh, talking. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. And that's a great way to foster a sense of community. Do you have any locals who visit as well?
Sure.
For tea night? Sure. Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that's
kind of like a pub night, kind of?
Oh, yeah. But quiet.
Everyone gets all drunk, starts throwing books and shit, lighting fires. Oh, that's cool, man. That's a great way. That's a good way to build your base.
Just we community. Are, and just offering opportunity for people to meet each other and yeah.
Good for you. Facilitating that. That's wicked. Are you familiar with the Danish term hygge? I think it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
Hygge.
Or maybe hygge.
Hygge.
Have you heard that before? Hygge?
Hygge.
Mm.
It's a family thing or...
Yeah. Do you know what that is? It's I watched a YouTube video years ago. And it's been stuck in my head. And I just came across one of the books from Andrea that was in the pile there. And it was defining the term hygge. So in the video I watched years ago, it was something like they were asking Danish people to translate words into English. They're like, how do you say momomo? And the Danish person would be like, bread. How do you say this? They're like, chair. How do you say this? How do you translate hygge to English? And they're like, every person had the same reaction. It was, and they think, and they're like, it's, we can't translate it. We can't translate it. So I was I had a flip through the hygge book, and it talks about like the idea of hygge and what it means and how it's kind of like a feeling. And there's different elements that can add into hygge. Light is one of them. Do you guys have candlelight at your? Do you guys light candles at the tea night?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a huge thing in Denmark. Is lighting candles. And I think in the book it said 30% of people light candles daily in their house to keep the hygge or like the sense, the warm sense of house. Other things that factor into it are I think having wood, being surrounded by books, good chocolate, like a good pair of socks is part of it. Just all kind of comfortable, cozy, cozy things like that. But it was a very interesting to flip through that book and see that. But my point being that your tea parties, and tea is another big part of the hygge. I hope any Danish people that are listening don't get angry at me. I don't know how good I'm explaining this, but your tea party sounds very hygge-ish, or you have many elements of hygge, which means, you know, bringing people together, eating together, sharing ideas, and having tea and good food together is a big part of it.
How do you, being based in Gyeongju, which is one of the tourist, or maybe the tourist capital of the country, do you work at all with the government or local government groups to promote Gyeongju, to promote the street, to promote Hanoks, to promote that stuff? Or being an independent business, are you kind of left out of that group and that's left to the big players?
I haven't had any opportunity to work together mm-hmm. with the local government. Mm.
Because I wonder often, like sometimes governments put restrictions on what you can or can't do. Is it Venice now? Somewhere they're charging, or you got to buy tickets to get into Venice now?
Yeah.
Or somewhere in Italy because...
Over tourism.
Just too much tourism and stuff. And I don't know if that's called, you know, unfair, or if the restaurants and the local businesses say, hey, we need those people. Like when we go down to this many people, our business is half empty all the time. But everyone else's is full. That's not fair for us. We want more people.
The problem is that it's... I think even the local business owners, they say too many people coming in. Yeah. And it affects... our
everything.
Well, you know, it affects their day-to-day life, and they go, the money's nice, but if I'm just living to serve people who are coming in and shitting all over my neighborhood, it's not
so in that way. Or the other, so I mean, in case if it gets too busy, because sometimes in Gyeongju it is pretty crazy busy, the other way, where maybe there's the, you know, the buses don't run enough, or late enough at night, or early enough in the morning, or do you have any concerns, or would you make any recommendations or suggestions on how to make Gyeongju better, more enjoyable, more to... I mean, it's way better now with all the scooters and bikes and everything, but they've become a major health hazard. There's people driving those scooters and all these different bikes. I'm afraid to hit them all the time because they're on their phones, not paying attention.
Gyeongju's got a different bike scheme though, don't they? What's the Gyeongju bike thing? That's not just the regular little...
No, but there's family bikes, there's mini trikes, there's mini bikes, mini scooters, electric scooters. There's so many different things, and it's walking as a pedestrian or driving. I feel like it's kind of dangerous now. I don't know, in front of your place, if you have a lot of that. That's my question. Just, do you have any ways to make it better or make it more enjoyable for people? Or if you could change one or two things of Gyeongju, what would you change?
I think Gyeongju is not ready to have tons of foreigners and tons of tourists there, because there is no public trash cans and also no public bathroom.
Not enough.
And also the streets are chaotic.
Is his street the main street in front of...
Oh, yeah.
The Yutego, where that all grows? By the watchtower? Where?
No, you're on Hwangli Dangir. That's like the you can drive down it. You can drive down it.
It's always traffic locked. It's always gridlocked.
It's not. You're right by the big
tombs.
Yeah.
So, like I always said to there, why don't they just close that street? Just close it off and make it a pedestrian street.
I don't know. I'm a major. I want to.
No, but that's what I mean. Like as a recommendation or suggestion, it's so crazy and busy there on the weekends, especially that street. Just people close it and let people just roam that street. Yeah. It'd be like a great big park. Everything around there is kind of parky and traditional, but then you have that street and it's just gridlock, and it's honking and guys dropping off, trying to park, illegal park.
There are lots of things, of course, that can be that could be improved in Gyeongju, but do they want that? Do they want to be the next Venice and have their, you know, how much cultural erosion are you willing to accept?
It's gonna start decreasing here soon enough with the population and everything
maybe,
else. So
maybe tourism.
They're going to be jack, the tourism industry better start to grow and bring support the economy, because the locals aren't going to be able to do it on their own. Mm. There's just not enough people anymore.
Yeah.
So I imagine tourism is going to be a huge part of the future of Korea, and Gyeongju will be the center of it. How they do that, I don't know, but back to the closing the street down, if you think of Jeonju, is it Jeonju with the Hanokmal? Mm-hmm. Like, they have two or three roads there closed off, and everybody walks around in their hanboks, and it's beautiful.
It's cool, eh?
It's really, really cool there. And you see them walking around in hanboks in Gyeongju, but it's weird when there's 1,000 cars on each side of them and all those bikes and stuff. So,
did you ever get one of those choco pies from Jeonju? That's where the Hanokmal is, right?
Yes, yeah. Right.
Christ, they sell choco pie, dude. It's a kilo and a half. You can knock someone out cold with it and then give them diabetes. Do you know what I'm talking about? They have those famous choco pies.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ.
If my parents were coming to Korea and I wanted to go to Gyeongju for a full day, 8, 9 a.m. until 9, 10 p.m., what would you recommend? What kind of course?
Coffee and brunch. Coffee, brunch, and a book until noon.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I want to recommend you to go to Bulguksa Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's symbolic temple in absolutely, South Korea. Yeah. And also Seokguram Grotto.
Mm-hmm.
That for me, every time I go, it's like, oh, I drove up you drive up this massive hill and you're like, what am I doing? And then you go there and you're like, okay. It was worth it. That was
it's impressive, yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. And at nighttime, I want you to go to Anapji Pond.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's beautiful night.
Mm.
Yeah.
I did the same course, minus your cafe for breakfast, with a friend, and we were at Anapji. It was probably, I don't know, 6:30. My friend's like, all right, let's go. I'm tired. We're going. I'm like, no. Wait 10 minutes. And the sun was just setting. 10 minutes. I can show you the before and after pictures. It was like, oh, a very nice little kind of temple with a pond. 10 minutes later, you're like, whoa, this is like breathtakingly beautiful with a dark blue sky and the lights all illuminating the what is that? It's not a temple. It was party place.
Yeah,
it was a party place. Yeah. A traditional party place.
They have the markings on the ground there for where the old buildings were.
Yeah.
And what would you recommend for eating?
Eating brunch.
Sure. Yeah. And then lunch and dinner. What do we get?
You'll love it.
I grabbed a McDonald's muffin on the way over.
What about for lunch or dinner? Yeah.
Local, Gyeongju Station, Gu Gyeongju-yeok. It's old Gyeongju Station, not Shingyeongju Station.
Yeah.
There is a traditional market, Seongdong Market.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There is Korean style buffet restaurants
over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So Jeongchik buffet.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Okay, so if you pay 6,000 won,
you can eat namul to your
namul and some other banchan.
Oh, cool.
And also
6,000 won.
6 or 7.
They're always cheap, man.
Yeah, cheap.
I've never been to a banchan for 6,000.
Hanjik buffets and
Hanjik the other buffet.
Ones. Yeah, they're all over. They're still cheap
right now. $6?
Yeah.
Let me check.
I will dummy a $6 menu. Yeah, hey. That's got some, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, you can find it for sure. So, no Bowman Lake?
Bowman Lake. Yeah, Bowman Lake is good. Yeah.
What about the Sundubu?
Spring season.
What about the Sundubu?
Sundubu
Jip. I mean the popular one. The one that I had to wait 2 hours.
But for me, I don't really want to recommend.
Never in my life I've gone crazy if you can find me saying I'm willing to wait 2 hours to eat milky tofu soup. Good Lord. Hey, it's okay. You know the busy place I'm talking about. It's okay. But you know what? Waiting 2 hours, it's surrounded with other places that's serving the exact same thing.
Okay, the Seongdong Sijang Hanshik Buffet is 8,000 won per person.
Oh man, this inflation is hitting me harder than the.
So I'll skip the coffee at brunch and I'll go for the buffet. Yeah,
okay. Inflation hitting hard at the Hanshik Buffet.
What about is it called Gyeongju Techno Park?
Techno Park.
What's the one with the big stupa they had it there for the expo?
Expo Park.
Ecstasy and glow sticks?
Oh, what's that? Is that worth Is that worth going to? They used to have those laser shows or light shows on the tower, and they would make it look like it was burning, and it was amazing. The last time I was there was for a Halloween event, I think,
okay,
2 or 3 years ago. And that was also really well done there. They kind of, I think last year, because of Itaewon, they changed it to a light festival or something, neon light festival. But is that worth going through or no?
No.
What about Gyeongju World?
Gyeongju World.
Gyeongju World is awesome.
Okay, if you like amusement.
I don't mean for a tourist, but I just mean for us living here, instead of going to Seoul or Busan,
sure,
where it costs 10 times more, we go to Gyeongju World after school. We get there 4 o'clock, 4:30 for the evening pass. It's like $10, and the kids can ride all they want for 3 hours, and there's no lines, and there's great rides.
Sure,
some of those roller coasters are like for us are scary. They're just as good as the ones in Seoul that people wait 3 hours for.
What's the big one right in front of Bomun Lake?
There's three really big ones.
What's that one though?
It's one right, is a hanging one, and one is a
like the vortex of Canada's Wonderland.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but anyways,
if someone's going to Gyeongju before they leave your cafe, of course they should pick up some little. You got stickers and kind of little souvenir things to take with you. What about in just in regular Gyeongju? What would you recommend someone take as a souvenir?
Souvenir
Gyeongju Bang. or is there some little trinkets or keepsakes that you?
So many things.
Yeah.
But not so many meaningful things. I don't know what, I think it's kind of whatever you like, but what would you recommend?
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I think one of the cool things is writing the prayers or whatever on the shingles, on the black tiles.
Okay.
At Boguksa. You can write your wishes or whatever and do that. Take a picture. I think that's cooler than buying some little thing that I'm going to throw out. Or
have you ever seen the monks that break them with their heads like that?
Yeah.
that's you pay an extra manu and he'll smash it right
the best. The best things that go into Boguksa with people who come to visit is drinking out of the spring with the Corona cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Out of a turtle shell. Yeah.
And writing your name on the thing and making the rock stupa at the backside when you come around. Those things stand out to me. The most memorable souvenirs from there are like back scratchers and massage-y things. Like those are the things I remember from Gyeongju.
The anal beads?
Yeah, all the, maybe some Buddha necklace or something, but usually the tuk, 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 tuk.
Okay.
All the massage things. Something. There's so many.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? Hyojasong?
Hyojasong.
That's what it is. Ah, nice. Very, very cool, man. You got more there? No? Can you give a shout out to your Instagram or Facebook? I have you on Facebook as TJU, but what about how can people who are listening follow you on Facebook or Instagram?
Okay. Instagram, Gyeongju_spring_day.
Yeah. Gyeongju
underscore
K or G?
underscore here.
Underscore?
Yeah, yeah.
Underscore.
GYEONGJU_spring_day. That is that's the Instagram handle.
Yes.
And same in Facebook, I imagine.
Just TJU.
TJU. Cool. Yeah. I got TJU on here. I put an extra O on. Awesome, man. Listen, I love what you're doing. The tea nights are really cool. I wish I lived closer and could attend them. You might find me down there one day, but that's really cool. You're building a nice sense of community. You have a long-term vision. You're not in there just to make a quick buck and leave. I love your business mind and sense and what you're doing for community and Gyeongju as a whole. Very well done. Thank you so much for coming. It was a pleasure to meet you. I'm very happy that I decided to visit your cafe and looking forward to my next visit.
Me too.
Yeah. Good times, man. Anyways, safe drive home. Everyone, thank you for listening and we'll get you all next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.